I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, January 31st, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. Joining us now, as he does every Monday, is David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
Let's talk about what's happening in Egypt today. After protests began against President Mubarak in Cairo last week, the U.S. administration seemed slow to send him any strong messages. Early in the week, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said the government was stable, and on Thursday, Vice President Biden wouldn't say whether he thought Mubarak was a dictator. Then everything changed. What happened?
Well, you know, it's never easy for American officials to talk about Egypt. On the one hand, they understand exactly who President Mubarak is and exactly what he has done to stay in power for the past 30 years. On the other hand, he is the Arab leader who is sustaining a peace agreement with Israel. And stability in Egypt means a huge amount to the United States, particularly for the Mideast peace process. So the idea of losing him, even if his time has clearly run out, and it has, is extraordinarily difficult. Now, by Friday night, you saw President Obama step out and begin to make some demands of President Mubarak. He said that the effort to put down the protests had to be nonviolent. He said that the Egyptian government had to lift the ban on internet and telephone, something they've only partially complied with. What I think we've seen is the Obama administration gradually distancing itself from President Mubarak and trying to find a way to an interim government.
Is this one of the reasons that President Obama won't just call on President Mubarak to leave the country?
Well, when I've asked that question at the White House, here's the answer I've gotten. First, they think that an American call for Egypt's leader to step down could well backfire. They could lose their leverage over President Mubarak because right now they have hanging over him the prospect that at some point they could pull the plug on him, and they think that that is much more useful. But the second reason is that President Obama, as you heard in his Cairo speech in 2009, has a deep aversion of repeating the mistake that the United States has made many times in the Middle East, which is appear to be the puppet master deciding who should run many different countries. And since it wasn't all that long ago, only 7 years ago, that the United States launched an invasion to get rid of a Middle East leader, I think that that issue weighs heavily on the president.
David, you know Mohammed El-Baradei, the former head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, quite well from your work on nuclear issues. What's he like, and what's the chance he'll win support from the Egyptian opposition?
He is, by turns, charming and frustrating. He is very much an elite diplomat, and this explains why that there is not much connection between him and the people you are seeing on the streets. He lives in a lovely apartment in Vienna where the International Atomic Energy Agency is located. And at various moments, he has been in some significant disagreements with Washington, particularly during the Bush years. Now, of course, he was prompted in part by the fact that the Bush administration tried to push him out of his job. As a popular leader out on the street with a bullhorn, which is the picture of him we saw yesterday, he's not a natural fit. But he could well be very convenient for all of the Egyptian opposition groups right now because he has this Nobel Prize, he has international recognition, and he would be a very acceptable alternative to the West. He would seem to radiate stability, and that might get them through this period of time from whenever President Mubarak leaves to elections.
What's the best outcome here?
Well, I think that the best outcome for Washington is, in fact, an interim government and then elections. The problem is that there is no political middle in Egypt. President Mubarak has so repressed political activity that the only real opposition group is the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamist group that, boy, goes back nearly a century. And the result of that is that you could end up in a political vacuum that Islamist groups could exploit. So the tricky part for President Obama is to try to manage a departure for President Mubarak that allows some time for some secular groups to coalesce into real political parties and so that there can be a real election in Egypt. And that's a very difficult thing to engineer, as we've learned in Afghanistan, as we've learned in Iraq, as we've learned in many other places around the world.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
David Sanger is chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.